May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou dost judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Our reading is numbered 1 in the back of the hymnal. It is entitled Invitation to Praise and is taken from Psalms 167. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. During the weekend, as all of you will know, a great champion of the faith passed, ending a wonderful life of service and witness and testimony. I am referring, of course, to Dr. Albert Schweitzer. And I should like, as a part of our prayer this morning, as we sing and give our praises to God, for us to stand in a moment of silence in tribute to this great servant who has now gone to be in fellowship with God. May we stand and may we pray. There are many things for which we praise Thee, O God, our Father, Thyself most of all, and Thy Son, our Savior. We praise Thee for the excellence of Thy name, the wonder of Thy beauty, the magnificence of Thy grace to us. We praise Thee that Thou hast granted us life in such a world as this. We praise Thee for the work which Thou hast given us to do. We praise Thee for all those persons, our Father, who have made our being here this morning possible, for those prayers, those praises, those testimonies, those hours of sacrifice and hard work. We praise Thee, our Father, for Thy servant Albert Schweitzer and for his long and wonderful life, and for his ministry to each one of us in a special way. We praise Thee, Father, that in Thy wisdom and love Thou dost call men to Thy service, and that Thou dost give us strength with which to serve. Bless, we pray, our Father, our worship here this morning. Help us to understand what it means to praise Thee. And may we with Israel of old know so fully and so certainly Thy presence in this world as to be impelled at all times and in all places to praise. It is in the name of Him whom we praise most, even Jesus our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Who to Lahasacha, says the Deuteronomic preacher of Yahweh, he is your praise. Wahu Eloheicha, and he is your God. He who has done things big and things awesome with you, those things which you have seen with your own eyes. He is your praise, the object, the motivation, the necessity of Israel's praise was God. God present and doing in the midst of his people. And this Deuteronomic statement can stand as either retrospective description of or anticipatory keynote for much of what the Old Testament became. For at the center of narrative and history, poetry and hymn, sermon and confession, even Torah and ritual in the Old Testament, there is an element of praise which is always inherent and often stated. Ludwig Kohler has put it this way: as the literature of the Old Testament expanded with the centuries, so the voice of praise to God became ever louder from its pages. But even on the most ancient, that voice is never lacking, and every outburst is a confession of the ever-present belief that God is. End quotation. Ceaseless was the praise which Israel offered up to Yahweh, writes von Rod, that late period which gave to the Psalter the term Tehillim even understood the totality of what Israel said by way of prayer, including many psalms of lamentation and the more didactically meditative ones, as one single polyphony of praise to God. End quotation. Johannes Pedersen, the doyen of Old Testament studies in Scandinavia, speaks of the praise-giving cult of the royal temple in Jerusalem. And he refers to the praise of God which, quote, fills the whole earth, end quote, as the action of human beings which yields to God, quote, the honor he has and thus strengthens it, end quotation. Now these comments and many other similar statements by other scholars are of course inspired by the abundant statements and songs of praise which virtually saturate the Old Testament. The very fact of God is everywhere taken for granted in the Old Testament, an assumption which Kohler has called the Old Testament's greatest gift to mankind. And this assumption, this fact, elicits from God's people praise of every kind, from virtually every circumstance of life. God, we must come to know if we would understand the Old Testament, God was really present in the world of the Old Testament. And Old Testament theology breathlessly believed him to have been involved in every aspect of the history of his people, from the moments great and triumphant to the ordinary experiences of daily life. So it was that Israel felt at all times obligated to the service of praise, the service of praise which his very being required. And as the people became alert to his presence, they offered praise in a variety of expressions and from a variety of specific occasions. This praise is sometimes constituted by only a word or a phrase, such as the cultic shout of glory when the presence of God is made known in the temple. Sometimes it is merely implied by some action or gesture only, such as the raising of the hands of the high priest in blessing, or the raising of the hands of the worshiper in prayer. It is sometimes this praise uttered on the battlefield after victory over the enemy, and sometimes this praise is uttered in the edge of a plowed field after victory over the forces of nature in the harvest. A man stands gazing at the great canopy of the night sky with all the eyes of heaven winking down at him, and quietly, almost in a whisper, he praises God. Psalm 19. Or again, the whole Yahweh, the great voice of God, comes in thunder, which rattles the hills and sets the wilderness to vibrating, and caught up in his majesty, men shout their praise of God. In Psalm 29, the phrase, the voice or thunder of God, is seven times repeated and pounds away at the ears and the heart like seven successive strokes of lightning, each pealing louder than the last. Praise, in fact, comes in many ways and finds many expressions in the Old Testament, but most often the praise of God in the Old Testament comes in a song, in a hymn, or a prayer. And its most frequent setting is the worship of the cult at high place in the sanctuaries which dotted the land or in the temple at Jerusalem. The best source for a study of the praise of God in the Old Testament thus lies in the Psalms of the Old Testament, both in the collection of the 150 Psalms in the Book of Psalms and in the many extra Psalter Psalms which lie scattered in fragment or in complete form throughout the Old Testament. The vocabulary of praise occurs frequently and in almost every corner of the Old Testament. God's name is praised in Psalm 8. O Yahweh, our Adonai, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Or, I will confess praise, RSV, give thanks to Yahweh with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. Psalm 9. So also God's deeds are praised. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome thy deeds. So great is thy power that thine enemies cringe before thee. All the earth worships thee. They sing praises to thee. Sing praises to thy name. Psalm 66. In like manner, the various attributes, qualities, powers, and possessions of God are singled out and given their due in praise. His words, Psalm 12. His ways, Psalm 25. His wonders, Psalm 9. His arm and his hand, that is his strength and power, Psalm 48. His commandments, Psalm 19. His promises, Psalm 93. Even his plans and his thoughts, Psalm 33. His kingship, Psalm 103. His highness and his glory, Psalm 8. His throne, Psalm 11. His wisdom, Psalm 147. His judgments, Psalm 36. His justice, Psalm 111, his mercy and grace, Psalm 145, his goodness and his faithfulness, Psalm 31, and to come round full circle, even his tehillot, his praises are praised in Psalm 48 and in Psalm 111. Now all this praise, and I've only merely suggested the variety of it, all this praise is pure worship. It is worship based upon the sheer factuality of God, stimulated by and centered upon his presence. It is living worship. It is worship which cannot help itself, and it is directed where true worship must always be directed, to God. It is directed to macrocosmic fact, which makes things different, and not to microcosmic non-entity, the self-centered naval contemplation which simply confirms us in meanness and seeks to rationalize the status quo with long gray words which know neither black nor white. Sigmund Mowinckel has beautifully described the content of this praising of the Psalter in these words. It is, quote, the consciousness of the poet and congregation that they are standing face to face with the Lord himself, meeting the Almighty, holy, and merciful God in his own place, and worshiping him with praise and adoration. He is in their midst, and they are his chosen people who owe him everything. Therefore, they now meet him with awe and trembling because he is the Holy One, but also with a sure trust, love, jubilation, and overflowing enthusiasm, while remembering all the great and glorious things that he has done. from the encounter with the Holy One, from the reverence and trust, the gratitude, joy, and enthusiasm, the song of praise thus rises to the Lord of hosts to express what the congregation is seeing and feeling and to increase his glory in the world. End quotation. Now it must be further said that all this praise is praise which is not limited by the exigencies of the situation afflicting or affecting the worshiper. It is not so limited simply because it is worship which is centered in God. God who does not change. God who is always and consistently the same. Even in the lamenting psalms, those poems which spring from moments of deep tragedy and abject despondence, even there the praise motif is sounded. Amidst defeat, calamity, dire need, the harshest misjudgment and the most sadistic opposition, when things were bleak and were looking bleaker all the time, the poets of the Psalter still praised God. Praised him because they were certain he was hearing. Praised him because they were certain he was there. Praised him finally because of himself. I am intrigued by the fact that the most imaginative and in many ways the most understanding book on the subject of the praise of God in the Psalms has come to us not from the well-fed comfort and warm security of a professorial chair, but rather from the desperate agony of a Nazi concentration camp. I'm referring, of course, to the little book by Klaus Westermann, The Praise of God in the Psalms. But even as this fact intrigues me, I am alarmed by the fact that we so often today seem incapable of true praise rightly uttered, and by the concomitant fact that we spend such an inordinate amount of time whining and complaining that the conditions of our life and work are just not to our liking. Alarmed, I say, because praise, when all is said and done, is proclamation. It is praise which is the testimony, the kerygma, the gospel, if you will, of the Psalms of the Old Testament. It is praise which both acknowledges the reality of God for one's own life in whatever circumstances, and which proclaims, fulfilling the obligation to witness, the absolute reality of the present God to all men who have ears to hear it. It is in our praise of God that we come to know him better and all men around us who hear the kerygma of our proclamation. Finally, it is our praise, as C.S. Lewis has so fetchingly put it, which, quote, almost seems to be inner health made audible. What is the state of your inner health, and how would it sound this morning were it to be made audible? The praise of God, the proclamation of God. Let us therefore be about this praise of our God. In this chapel, on this campus, in our worship, in our work, for God has dealt most bountifully with us, and what is much more important than that, he is our praise. He is our God. From the 47th Psalm, the first seven verses, the poet says, "Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is terrible, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm." Our benediction will be the doxology. which we shall now stand and sing.